to the Corner Studio. My name is Jared Griffin, and the Corner Studio is this show, this kind of ad hoc show for the tea. You know, what's going on in the community. The community tea, I guess, is, and as I am sipping my morning hot brew of very heavily caffeinated black tea this morning. And so joining us on this very first episode of the Corner Studio, we're going to be talking PFDs and pick, click, give and party. Oh my gosh, there's a big party going on. And so joining me in the studio this morning, I have Mitchell Davidson, Laura Arboleda, and Hazel De Los Santos. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so very briefly, what's going on? Let's start with pick, click, give. Mitchell.
So we're coming down to the end of the line for pick, click, give, which is an opportunity to direct a portion of your PFD. Fortunately, this year it looks like it's going to be significant.
It's going to be a beast.
To nonprofits of your choice. So you can take some of that state endowment that, you know, perpetuates through the years and then comes to all of us, and you can direct it to those causes that matter to you. And so we're here advocating on behalf of KCF, the Kodiak Community Foundation, which runs its own endowment. So money that goes there moves into the endowment that then generates more money that goes out to nonprofits in our community. So if you're interested and you say, well, Mitchell, I've already filed for the PFD. I'm responsible. Yeah. I'm on it.
That was way back in February.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, worry not. Now that you know how much money it is, you can go to pfd.alaska.gov, and on the right side of the screen, there's a link that will let you adjust your pick, click, give amount, or decide, you know, I don't want the $200 extra dollars on that $3,200. That's a weird number. Let's just round it out. You can go and you can direct that either to something like KCF or any of the other nonprofits in our community that you think would be a wonderful opportunity. And while doing good, you can feel good too, knowing that it is a tax-deductible donation.
And super easy.
Super easy.
All right, we'll talk some more about that. Thanks for the rundown on Pick, Click, Give. And we have until, what's the deadline on that?
August 31st.
Okay. Deadline's coming up. Laura and Hazel, and you are here to talk about the Kodiak Community Foundation and a block party.
That's right. So we, the Kodiak Community Foundation with the Kodiak Arts Council, is hosting a downtown block party on September 10 from 2 to 8 p.m. So that is Saturday, September 10. I know it's been raining for the last 2 weeks, so we're hoping it just comes down now. And then for that event, it will be gone, because this party is going to be in the heart of Kodiak in the downtown mall area. From 2 to 4, we will have a family fun fair with our participating nonprofits. We will have nonprofit tables that will be doing mini games for kids, some with huge bubbles and face painting and all that awesome jazz. So we really hope to get everyone down there. It's a free community event, basically celebrating our town, our community, and everything that it shows for. So Hazel's going to talk to you about what's going to happen from 4 to 8 and who we're going to have during that time.
Yeah, so obviously Kodiak is blessed with a bunch of amazing, talented performers, which we are still seeking out more performers, but some of the performers that you will be seeing at the event are, of course, Elemi and the Twang. They're amazing. Crooked Island, some cultural performers such as our Phil-Am group and our Samoan cultural community. There will be line dancing as well to some of this live music, so it's going to be a fun time, and especially since the pandemic has lifted a little bit, I think this is a great way for the community to come together. So it's exciting.
All right. Oh, fantastic. Look at all of this. After you spent all of your PFD on the Picklick Give, then you don't have to worry about paying to go to the block party because it's free. So let's talk about you a little bit. Story time, morning story time.
So so it's coming true.
So Mitchell, how did you personally get involved with the Kodiak Community Foundation and your nonprofit work here?
Yeah, sure. So my wife and I came back to Kodiak just a couple of years ago, and having grown up here, very passionate about a lot of our community. You know, I love Kodiak. It's given so much to me that the opportunity to give back just a little bit in some way was really attractive. And so I know a number of people on the Kodiak Community Foundation, and I was reached out to as some fresh young blood to come in and be part. Yeah. I'm a part of the same cohort as Laura, to come in and help carry the torch from a group of veteran Kodiak residents who have invested just a wonderful amount in this community. So being able to come on board and learn from people there like Mike Wall and Mark Anderson, and Bud Cassidy, and Rita Stevens was on there when we first got on, has been just a real privilege. And the fact that it is nonprofit agnostic, sort of, just that it has such a broad impact in our community has been a lot of fun. And so we've been through a granting cycle now where we open up grants to nonprofits in the town, and then folks apply. We've given money to the Island Trails Network. We've given money to Kodiak Kindness, which I was fortunate enough to benefit from after having a baby just 8 months ago in December. And so already being able to help direct funds and connect donors with just incredible opportunities in our community and then reap those rewards myself. Very, very nice.
So. Okay. Mitchell mentioned, Laura, you kind of came on board with the Community Foundation with Mitchell. So what brought you there?
For sure. Well, to add on to Mitchell's, I'm going to back up a little bit here, Jared. To add on to Mitchell's reaping the rewards benefit from these nonprofit organizations, I think when COVID hit, it was really just downside for a lot of the nonprofit organizations here in our town. And a lot of folks lost sight of who they are, what they do, and the good services that they offer to our town. And so this block party is an opportunity to meet those nonprofit organizations again. It is free to nonprofits to set up a table. So make sure you reach out to us and let us know if you want to be there. But it's a good way for the community to reconnect with all the nonprofit organizations and give back to them or see how even their services could benefit you. So now on to how I got on board. Well, Mr. Craig Johnson, one of the best of Kodiak residents, also asked me to join the Kodiak Community Foundation. Now, at the time, I had how old was he? Maybe like a year old.
So it sounds like they're actively seeking people who are just having babies.
Right, yeah.
Right, you've got an incentive.
Right, yeah. That's a good way to go,
better
right?
Be a good place to live.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I was on the council. I was on the city council for 5 years and then took a break when I had my baby and wasn't doing anything, you know, community work related.
You weren't doing? Oh, okay. I was about
I
to
mean,
say.
You know, parenting, if anyone, right. You know, everyone right. Who has a child will know that is hard stuff right there. If only we got paid for that.
If only
you know?
Got paid.
I'm just kidding. But no, so I was home. I was, you know, became a stay-at-home mom, and Craig Johnson reached out to me and I said, you know what? I need people to talk to. You know, I need that adult mentality and my IQ to go back up. So yes, get me on this board. And I didn't know much about the Kodiak Community Foundation when I first joined. And like Mitchell said, there are a lot of great folks still on that board. His mom is included in there. Mitchell.
She's cool. Marilyn Davidson. Thanks for life.
and so same thing with Mitchell. I mean, it's just a great way to reconnect and give back to your community in that sense. And being on the city council, I really enjoyed that community service aspect of it. Finding ways to give back to our community and help. Definitely feel like I've done 1,000 hours of work on this community foundation with this downtown block party happening. Mm-hmm. But it's been good for me to realize, like, wow, I can give so much back to my community with just the work that I do. You know, it doesn't have to be funds necessarily, but even joining nonprofit organizations like this and just helping in that sense is giving back to them. So I think, you know, we really are trying to get a lot of our younger folks, our, you know, kids our age or adults our age to join these groups and really take on the torch and relieve our veteran folks.
And if I can jump on there too, I mean, you did say kind of jokingly, well, we're getting people with kids, and I made a joke of we want this to be a good place to live, but that's exactly what it's about.
Right. Yes,
absolutely true. And so we came on, and one of the big things is a lot of people don't really know what the Kodiak Community Foundation is. Mm-hmm. And it does sound sort of nebulous. It's this organization that helps support other organizations in Kodiak, but also the fact that it is a community foundation. Right. We really wanted to have a community event, right, which is where the idea of this music festival came up. And mm-hmm. It also springs from the tradition of wonderful music festivals in Kodiak,
right,
growing up and going to the Bear Country Music Festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved it. I have these, you know, little tiny Mitchell running around seeing the big performers out at the fairgrounds. And then Warm August Nights was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, we love those events. Mm-hmm. And how can we make that happen here?
Right.
And Laura said, well, let's do it downtown.
Yeah. And some downtown of us were like, music festival.
Yeah. Is that feasible?
Right. And like Hazel said, we have a lot of talented performers and singers in this town. And we're such a small, people think Kodiak's such a small community. What's there? There's a lot here.
There's a lot.
You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot here. So this is it, to showcase all of that.
And to share it with each other and with that upcoming generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yep, exactly.
And Hazel, you're here with Arts Council. Mm-hmm. And so how did you, you've been involved in arts and music and dance for quite a long time. So you're kind of bringing in the arts element of the whole block party and community celebration. So how did you get started in all of this?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I've been with the Arts Council since a very, very, very young age, the age of 5. That was my first musical theater production. And ever since then, I've just, you know, anybody who knows me knows I've performed literally my whole life. And, you know, I moved to Anchorage, went to college, and I kind of, you know, college is a time where you don't know what you want to do. I thought I wanted to do music for a long time. And then, you know, going to college, I was like, man, this is like really sucking the life out of me. So then I switched my major over to early childhood development. But still on the side, I was taking on a bunch of gigs, musical theater stuff, and kept doing that. And I realized, man, I still have an itch for this. Like, maybe this is my calling. Again, still kind of iffy on that whole back and forth between wanting to be a teacher, wanting to continue to pursue music. Fast forward to moving back here. In Kodiak, I just thought there wasn't a lot of outlets for me to do any of my musical things, doing dance besides musical theater. And I just continuously wanted to expand that. As soon as the pandemic hit, I think that was my moment where I was like, doing everything in my room that involved music, writing, mm-hmm. making up routines, realizing I was like, this is something that I still love. Mm-hmm. And I had just, you know, quit my job of teaching because it hit me that I was like, I don't want to be a teacher. I love children, but this is not my calling.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then as soon as Little Mermaid auditions happened, that was also the time where I saw the job hiring for the Arts Council. I looked at the requirements. I was like, I think I can do this. And so I met with Katie, And automatically she was like, oh my gosh, we want to have you on board. And so I read the job description and we had the interview. And as soon as the interview ended, she was like, so when can you start? And, you know, I've only been working for the Arts Council since March, but it really feels like I've been doing this my whole life because it's like I already automatically know what to do. And I'm so grateful for that. And so for, you know, working for the Arts Council does help me give back to the community in the sense of art, because I know there's so much talent out there. Mm. I have, like, you know, I've met so many people through being with the Arts Council, was able to host my own things and my own events that involved talent and music and dance and singing. And it's just really overwhelming to know that I could take part in that.
I think there's a common denominator for everyone in this room. We're all doing something that really fulfills us, mm-hmm. and we're passionate about mm-hmm. giving back, community, arts. Awesome.
Okay. All right. So I've got a trivia question for you.
Oh,
and we're gonna see. we're gonna see how close you get. Okay. So, okay. Sometimes we look at the importance of nonprofits in an area by looking at how many nonprofit organizations are operating there per capita. So Anchorage is one of the highest in the country. There are 15.9 nonprofit organizations in Fairbanks per 10,000 people per capita. Anchorage is at 14.9 nonprofit organizations per capita. What do you think Kodiak is? How many nonprofit organizations in Kodiak per capita?
I don't know.
Take
why,
a wild guess.
But I want to say like 30 point something.
Okay. All right. Laura says 30 point something.
Would you say 30?
30 point. It's a, lot, a lot. But hey, I think, you know, we'd be surprised.
Hmm. What was Anchorage again?
14.9.
That's probably a really wrong guess.
And Fairbanks is 15.9.
Fairbanks is 15. I'm gonna go low and say about 10
okay,
something.
Okay.
I'll say like 16, so then I've got all the range up to
right. $1. $1. The answer is 60.
Oh
my gosh. See?
There are 60 nonprofit organizations per capita in Kodiak.
Wow.
Little did I know.
See that?
That right.
That's crazy. Wow.
There you go. Now, if you're ever on Jeopardy and that's like the final Jeopardy answer and you get it right, I want half
thanks,
of whatever
Jerry.
It is.
We'll remember this moment.
10,000?
For 10,000, yeah.
Okay, so I'm excited to see 60 applicants.
I was just going to say that.
Granting yeah, cycle opening
right.
up soon.
Right, if you're listening to this,
you can
hop
check
on board.
That out at,
yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Check out the Kodiak Community Foundation.
Yes, and see, that's exactly the point right there. We didn't even know how many we had here.
Mm-mm.
So if we could just keep doing this outreach and reconnecting the community back with all the nonprofits we have in this town, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So let's come back to the block party and where hopefully we'll have a big nonprofit presence there. So can you talk about how the germination of this idea, this sounds like it was maybe your brainchild, Laura?
Yeah, because I didn't know about it for a while. And I was like, oh, we're doing, okay, cool.
Yeah.
We're doing this.
We've had little block parties on, you know, on our block, and it's like a little barbecue and
nice.
maybe someone will bring a guitar over and just kind of play. And then there's like frisbees and, and things. But, but you're thinking something on a much bigger scale.
I mean, I was, and then we started doing the work and I was like, I don't know. I'm just kidding. No. So we were sitting at a Kodiak Community Foundation meeting and our project manager, Brianna Cooper, mm-hmm. You know, asked us to go around the table and she said, what is a community mm-hmm. event we can do or, a donor event we do, you know, for our donors, we also like to honor them and do something. But I said, you know, I feel like the Kodiak Community Foundation is just the right organization to do something like this for our community. So we're going around the table and everyone's talking. I said, shoot, let's have a Kodiak, like, let's have a downtown music festival. We have the bands. We have the downtown area. We're trying to, you know, from when I was on the council, I knew we were trying to really beautify downtown and just do more with it. And when I was also on the council, they did, they gave the, well, we didn't give, but we voted on the city manager being able to, you know, if people come in and want to apply for a community permit, such as an event like this, the city manager would have, you know, would be able to just do that. We wouldn't have to go through the council.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, we already made that process so easy then, and we just haven't seen anything come of it. So, knowing that, I said, well, I mean, how, you know, it can't be that hard to be able to do something like this. We have Kodiak Crab Festival that happens in May. So I said, why not do something in the fall, kind of to wrap up summer? It's going to be the start of school soon. Fishermen should be coming back into town. And I said, you know, we can have the nonprofits join in. That's a good way for the community to recognize who they are, get back to them, reconnect with them. We'll have the live bands there. We'll just, you know, basically just a big community mashup of events and celebration. A big community celebration is just what I was thinking. And Kate Polson got on board with me and, and Mitchell and our community or communications committee on the Kodiak Community Foundation got on board. And we all just started going to work and reaching out to folks. And here we are. Here we are at the end of it. And the Arts Council, of course. Thanks to the Arts Council for partnering with us and having the same vision as us with this music festival. We've really made it come to life, and now we're just, we're waiting for the date, waiting for that sunshine.
It'll happen. So what do we get from framing it as a party as opposed to like a festival? Or, you know, we've had events in the past that are like, I know at the college, and I think even downtown at the convention center, where there's it's like nonprofit fair or volunteer fair or things like that, and they're sparsely kind of attended. So what do you hope from that, framing it as a party instead of fair or
We originally said, let's just call it the Downtown Music Festival, but it, you know,
or festival,
And so my vision was that for that was, hopefully we can start doing this every year and it becomes an annual thing, and it becomes almost like a crab festival where we have the food booths there, we'll have the live bands, we'll have nonprofit organizations doing, you know, kind of more, instead of having rides for the festival, we'll have like games and races, relay races, stuff like that. That was kind of my vision. But having it downtown, like in an open area where it's kind of like a mutual area for everybody, you know, hopefully the community will just feel free to walk in there and enjoy the party instead of, I guess, I don't really know if I'm answering your question, go ahead, Mitchell.
Well, I talk about your hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Part of it is, you know, the Crab Festival is so, so iconic, and it's a celebration of an industry that's so important to our community. And our hope with this block party is that it's a celebration of the people that are vital to our community. So the talents that we have, the cultures that we have, the nonprofit opportunities to invest back into that, back into this community that's given so much to us, is just really exciting. And it is about the celebration. You know, it is an opportunity to connect people with nonprofits. Absolutely. And it's an opportunity, ideally, to dance a lot and everyone get sweaty and gross and eat some tasty food.
Right. Well, to connect with each other, too. I mean,
absolutely,
bringing in the food trucks and, you know, there's businesses around the downtown area. We're trying to get the American Legion there, too, to host kind of like a beer garden, but just right in front of their area. So then that way it's really, you know, we're using that whole downtown mall area and just moving people throughout and bringing the community down there, because it's a nice place. You know, we have a nice downtown. And so if we could just get people down there to enjoy it, maybe we'll see more of these little block parties.
And we're all feeling a little bit of cabin fever in the post-COVID days. So let's get outside. Let's have some
fun. We need to party.
Also, this is like a very, you know, we're a welcoming community in general, but this is also a very welcoming event, especially because we're kind of in that time frame where new Coast Guard families are coming in too.
That's right.
Like I, you know, also working as a bartender on the side, I've met a lot of new Coast Guard, you know, spouses, wives, families. So half of them, I also was at the newcomers fair, you know, promoting the Arts Council. And a lot of people did not know we existed. They're like, oh, you guys do that here? And I'm like, yes. So, like, you know, take flyers, go on our website, follow our Facebook page. Like, we post everything on there. And, you know, if they come to this, they'll see there is a buttload of talent on this island. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I can recruit people to audition for us or, you know, to perform for us for bands and whatnot. So it's good to have that pool of people.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely some downside to having such a transient community, but at the same time, we get so many fishermen in here and so many Coast Guard and their spouses who bring different talents and interests and things that and they create, they tend to create a niche for themselves while they're here, you know, and it's just really cool, cool to see.
Yeah.
So what, Hazel, can you talk some more about what the Arts Council role has been in the block party?
I mean, for the most part, we're very much the artistic side. Just, you know, as Laura said, we've just been the ones to go to for looking for those performers, like who can, you know, the bands and stuff like that. And we have quite a bit of bands on this island. But of course, you know, everybody has their own job and schedules don't align as, you know, best as possible, but they're, you know, they're all more than willing to perform for this block party. I reached out to LME and the Twang, and I know that we just had them open for Super Saturated Sugar Strings,
which was such a fantastic show,
which was
out
amazing,
at the fairgrounds. Oh my gosh,
great.
It was so good.
Was not expecting that big of a turnout just because, you know, in our, you know, the past concerts in July, it was, well, the rain didn't help.
Right.
The rain didn't help. And of course, there was still rain at Super Saturated
Sugar
Strings.
But there were rainbows.
But there were.
It was so awesome.
Were rainbows and frolicking cows and pigs.
That's so cute.
And so, I mean, like, I was working the beer garden and it was just, it kept going and going and going. And it was great. Everybody was there. There was live music playing, and it's just, you know, it's just an all-around fun time to be around. But, you know, after that, Twang, I know Twang had, like, multiple gigs right after, and I was like, man, are they really going to be willing to perform for this one, too? And she goes, yeah, totally. I'm like, okay, great. Awesome. Then I reached out to Crooked Island, and I know they haven't performed in a long period of time either.
Yeah.
So they're willing to do it as well. And
you're still looking for acts?
We are still looking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've reached out to, I know that there's this brand new band called Homebrew, who were also supposed to perform during one of the parties that just got canceled because of the weather. But I've heard some of their stuff. It's great. Very versatile. Our community would love that. And I just, it's just so great to know that there's so many people out there that, you know.
Can't have a party without music.
Oh, no.
Right. No. No. And music really brings people together.
Right. Yep, that's right.
Where will the music acts be staged downtown? Are they in the parking lot?
So they'll be right underneath the awning, right in front of the Shunack Bingo Hall.
Okay.
Kind of where they were, I think, for Crab Fest.
Right.
Also.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, we're hoping that even if it rains, it's like mist, we're still going to make it happen. If it's like blowing 50 and raining, we'll consider doing a different date. But we're all from Kodiak. We're all tough.
I think we can make it happen. I'm sure us Kodiak locals can brave the storm at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, if we still have nonprofits and musicians or performers interested in being part of this, please reach out to us. I mean, at least a couple days before we don't have a deadline. We'll still take people. Even the day of, but definitely will be easier if we have everyone sign up. You can call me at 907-539-2027 or even shoot me a text, whatever you're more comfortable with, if you'd like to be part of that downtown block party.
And that's if you want to do music or if you just want to set up a table.
Right, if you're a nonprofit and want to set up a table, do music or perform.
And this might be a little tangential. So the city, though, they're making plans or different plans for that little
pocket park. Right.
What's going on there? Do you have what's the tea?
Ooh.
Because is that where you're imagining the beer garden?
So city code states we cannot have alcohol on city property. But you know, I may have spoken to some city council folks who said, hey, maybe a community event can be an exception. Please don't burn me for saying this. Please let this still be an opportunity for the future. But, you know, I mean, we'll be responsible. But
promise.
So the pocket, yes, we do promise. The pocket park, they're taking everything down. I heard it's going to possibly just be parking space. But for now, it's just going to be an empty lot. We were thinking of having the food trucks over there, but we're not sure how to get, because it's kind of like a side, you have to go over a sidewalk and not all food trucks can drive over sidewalks. So I think, but,
we just have a food truck race.
Yeah. We may put some nonprofit organizations there. And I plan on getting beautiful string lights. I think I forget what they were called, but they're just the bigger bulbs and
like
string
lights.
Yeah, and hopefully we can hang them up there during that time. So it's really, if you've been to Portland downtown and you've looked down their alleyways, they have, I mean, just anywhere actually, they have string lights that just kind of, you know, hang up there. And I said, why can't we have that here? You know, why can't we do that here? So that's the hope, to kind of beautify in that sense, really light it up down there and have some nonprofits sit there so people can really make their way around that area.
Yeah.
And that is a hope to use as they're going through this change with the pocket park, that it can be an opportunity to host more events there and to really utilize that space for our community.
Right.
So that would be really exciting.
Yeah, we want to, you know, I mean, if you know what it was like down there before that, it was hard to hang out there because there were others hanging out there and not necessarily people we would want to be next to. And so that's why they had to tear everything down there, which makes sense. But we hope that with this downtown block party, we can bring back a little bit of livelihood down there. And like Mitchell said, get more acts and music in that area.
So we're going to have food trucks more towards the parking lot.
Yes.
And we're still open to having more food trucks at this event. We'd love to have all of them. The city has
food.
The city's just put out their mobile food service permit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's $500, which is a chunk. But right now, this permit will go through the end of this year and all the way through December of 2023.
Correct.
Which will allow those food trucks to park on city property. Which I personally am very excited about, the potential of going down to the Spit on a sunny afternoon and getting a burrito or something, or at any of these events that we have going on, having local food, be able to come right there. And I'm willing to give you my money for your food.
Here's another thing. We will have a cruise ship the day of the event.
Yep.
Saturday, September 10th.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's right.
It's a cruise ship, a passenger of around like 200-something. But, you know, Katie from the Arts Council did say, hey, those might be our hotshot cruise ship people.
Absolutely.
So they might
bring in
some funds and spend some money. So
mm-hmm.
if you're a food truck and you're listening, you know, I'd be down there.
So we're really hoping that it's also an opportunity for those mobile food service providers to test the waters, but do so at a time that ideally will be lucrative, will help recoup a lot of those costs.
Right.
Yeah. And again, you have the permit from now until the end of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of opportunity there to really showcase what you have and get people
it's worth it.
Oh, yeah. Get people to buy from you. I'm sure we'll have more cruise ships next year also.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we've got music, food, face painting, nonprofit representation. Any other vendors? Is this a opportunity for small businesses or people who have a little...
So we cannot, cannot sell anything on city property for this event specifically. Mm-hmm. And now the permit states, you know, it asks when you apply for it, are you going to be selling something? And I think there's a different process for that. But because we're a nonprofit, we just chose to stay that route of, you know, letting nonprofits come in and working with them also, and no selling anything, but definitely just informational booth or a mini game booth. We'll have a booth, or I say booth, but table with huge bubbles.
And we're hoping that this...
Oh, yes, the bubbles. I forgot about the bubbles. The kids. Oh, my gosh.
I love it. And it is our plan that this is an annual event, a celebration. Right. So if you are a small profit or a small business and you are thinking, oh, man, would this be valuable to sell at in the future?
Right.
Should the process change? Well... Come down and check it out.
Right. And you know, the city, we want to really thank the city, too, because they've been really easy to work with.
Absolutely.
And they've answered all our questions. And they walked us through the process of applying for this city permit. So there's a lot of – when Kate Polson and I went to the city council, we spoke to city manager Mike Twenge and the deputy city manager, Josie Banky, and they were extremely excited about this. I mean, they shared the same excitement we did, and we were just on this, like, high of, oh, my gosh, yeah, let's make this happen. Let's do this. How come no one's doing it, you know? And I think that was an awareness that we're bringing awareness to these other businesses and nonprofits and just the community that, hey, we can have stuff like this happen here in Kodiak. So work with us, let us know, give us some feedback, and we'll see what we can do for next year also. I know the event hasn't happened yet, but
it's good.
We have big dreams.
Big
for
dreams,
this
good vibes.
Yeah, right.
I love how this is evolving in our community. I feel like the younger generation is taking over, but that's just me.
As
Which,
they should be.
I mean, it's going to happen anyway,
right,
so
I mean,
you might as well start now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Actually, you should have started like 10 years ago, but that's a whole other thing. So I just want to make sure for people who are listening, thinking of maybe doing a table or booth there for their organization. So information only, so they can't sell swag or memberships. It's just information only.
Right.
But an opportunity to present your organization and get some volunteers, some people who are excited to invest in your organization for the betterment of all of us here.
Sure. And if you have something to sell, it's not like, no, don't tell people that you're selling anything. You can let them know, but you can't just directly sell there on the table. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. All right. So we talked about the block party a lot. Let's come back to also pick, click, give. So speaking of, we're coming back to money. So the deadline is the end of the month.
Yep. So a week from today, I think, August 31st.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Already?
That's right. But you've got time. Just bfd.alaska.gov.
It's August 24th right now.
It's right to
34th,
the...
31st is next week, Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we only have a
week. Goodness. This month has really flown by. So Pick, Click, Give is... I think a lot of Alaskans are probably pretty familiar with it. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm in the nonprofit circles a lot, so I hear it. I hear it all the time in like March when the PFD deadline is, and then in August a lot when everybody's making their final push. And so, as Mitchell was saying, even though you've already completed your PFD application, you still have one more week. And this is a program that's been going on since 2008, it looks like. So so for those of you who this is your first PFD, lucky you. additional opportunity. So the money that you give through Pick, Click, Give goes directly to the nonprofit.
So it goes to the nonprofit. There is a 7% administrative fee that comes out. That's just because of the size of the program. There's a little bit of overhead, and it's primarily managed by the Alaska Community Foundation, which is the parent organization of us here, with the Kodiak Community Foundation. We're an affiliate, but other than that, your money goes to that nonprofit. If there's a nonprofit that you go to look up on Pick, Click, Give, and they're not there, they need to put in an application to be part of the program. Mm-hmm. Encourage those nonprofits to get on there. If we got 60 nonprofits, then that's the opportunity. You have to give in $25 increments. Just keeping it round. It's just nice. But, you know, some of your favorite nonprofits like the Kodiak Community Foundation or KMXT.
KMXT is on there.
It's been a wonderful program, and it's an easy way for us to give back a little bit mm-hmm. from this deserved money we're all getting in October.
Okay. And there's no pressure to give all of your PFD or even half of it. Nope. Like Mitchell said, what, $25 is the increment of, is that what you said?
Yep, it's a $25 increment.
I mean, if you're going to give $25, that's fine. You know, you're giving back either way. So no pressure.
And last year was a record year for Pick, Click, Give. I'm looking at this story. So last year, despite the pandemic, over 25,000 Alaskans donated to Pick, Click, Give, raising just about $3 million.
Wow.
And that was with our dividend. What was our dividend last year?
It's like $1,100.
$1,100. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so.
So we're talking three times
that. Right.
So people probably give $9 million?
Oh, yeah. That's right. So it's a popular program, and sounds like it's definitely worth putting your money back into. Mm-hmm. So we've got about, we still have like 10 more minutes.
All right.
Yes. So
more story time.
Yeah, more story time. So tell me about what are some of the nonprofit organizations either in Kodiak, in Alaska, United States, you know, wherever that you feel like you either have a personal connection to or have personally benefited from. Mitchell, you mentioned the Kindness Project.
Yeah, my family benefited immensely from Kodiak Kindness, which is a nonprofit that supports mothers and families. I'm part of the family. Of newborns here in our community.
That's right.
And so they had submitted a grant last year mm-hmm. to the Kodiak Community Foundation to purchase infant scales, where especially during COVID, being aware of your newborn's weight can mm-hmm. be just extremely vital in those first few weeks.
Correct.
And I know for my family, our son dropped his 10% birth weight just right away, which is, you know, that's the borderline. That's you can't go lower than that. And mm-hmm. and Kindness issued us one of those scales that that we had awarded that grant to Kindness, and they had purchased these scales to loan out. Mm. And so we had one of those in our house for a couple of weeks, and we would weigh. You know, you're supposed to weigh your kid once in a while, and I'm weighing my kid four times a day.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, that's okay.
But it's just being able to do it, to think about it, and then do it immediately was such a relief. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I was telling you, Jared, right about that time, we all got the COVID. so my little, the tiny baby boy is all coughing and sneezy, and I'm checking his temperature 12 times a day, but being able to still weigh him and track that and not have to go into the clinic and expose people or leave when my wife and I are feeling iffy was such a gift, and I really can't recommend Kindness enough. They were such a constant support through those first couple of weeks of having a newborn.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. So. I advocated hard for them because same thing for me. There's other nonprofits out there, but Kindness, too. My son was born a preemie. He was born a month and a week early. Hmm. And so I had preeclampsia, so we had to be medevac to Anchorage and all that jazz. And this was right before he was born, November of 2019. So really right before COVID. We came home almost a month later after being in the NICU for that whole time. And it was tough. I mean, it was hard. He was a tiny little thing. He was 4 pounds when he was born. And it was just, you know, everyone talks about... go off on a tangent here, sorry. Everyone talks about, you know, pregnancy and what you should look out for, but no one really talks about the after pregnancy stuff. So you're dealing with postpartum issues, you know, as a mom, as a new mom, and then COVID hits and you're just like,
I can't imagine. Oh my God.
Anxiety just through the roof. It was crazy. And Randy's fisherman, so he, you know, had to leave, and I was home alone with this little baby, and I'm just like, what do I do?
You'll have this community around you.
Right, just exactly. Yeah. No one wanted to come around. I have family here, but, you know, still, COVID.
Yeah.
But Heather Priest over at Kodiak Kindness, she would still come to our house, and she would say, you know, are you feeling okay? I'm feeling okay. I'm going to be there for you. And she would sit there with me, and TMI, sorry, but breastfeeding was a little bit tough for me. He was a small, small baby, you know? So learning how to do that, I got help when we were in Anchorage, Providence, Anchorage, from the lactation nurses there. But Heather is also a lactation nurse, and she really walked me through and helped me and supported me and said, hey, it's okay. Don't be frustrated. You know, this happens to everybody. So just her even being there for me. And I could text her any time of the day if I had any issues. At the time, she was kind of a smaller organization. And just in the last few years, she's grown. She has, I think, like a couple staff members now. At the time, it was just her. So I was like, wow, this is an incredible, I mean, just growth and organization and the things that they do and the grant that they are granted by KCF last year to get scales and to be able to give those to families. That is a really vital thing, especially for new, you know, new families with babies.
And it's important to note that the same day as our block party, September 10th, morning, the
milk run.
The milk run is happening at Kodiak
Kindness.
Okay.
Milk run, yeah. So, yes. Kodiak Kindness is amazing. There are other great nonprofits out there, too, but that is my connection.
I almost feel like we should have Heather here.
I know. We're kind of pushing a lot.
Yeah. That's my connection with nonprofits here. Yeah. And, you know, just being a new mom, it was really great to have somebody there basically hold my hand through the process. And she was still working really hard throughout COVID, too. So, They're a great nonprofit, as other nonprofits are also. So.
I mean, I obviously have a connection to the ones that I'm selfishly able to utilize immediately. Yeah. And there are...
Which is... And, you know, that's the thing about nonprofits is that you may only need to use them, you know, once ever, but that they're there. And I want to give Hazel time. Do you have a... What's your heartwarming nonprofit story?
So
how have nonprofits saved your
mine
life?
Mine isn't based in Kodiak, but I was very attached to the Trevor Project.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which is a American nonprofit organization that focuses on suicide prevention amongst the LGBTQ community. And so when I put on the show, you know, in June, and personally, for me as a performer, I said all my tips are going to go to the Trevor Project Foundation, because also as a community, inclusiveness is at the top of my list. I feel like everybody should be included. I feel like everybody should be accepted, regardless of who you are, what your race is, yada, yada, this, that, and the third. And I, as the performer, ended up raising $700 towards the organization. And I was not expecting that, first of all. I wasn't expecting that. Also, I was not expecting to see how much of the community became involved. And it really made my heart warm knowing that, they were willing to give in that aspect.
Right.
So.
And this was the drag show, back in June.
Back in June. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a couple minutes left, so let's go. let's hit everybody with these details one more time, and let's start with Pick, Click, Give. This is your final pitch, Mitchell.
Final pitch. August 31st is your final day to take a portion of this money coming your way to support some of our wonderful Kodiak nonprofits. It doesn't matter if you've already applied for your PFD, which I hope you have. Go to pfd.alaska.gov. And on the right side of the screen, there's an option to add or amend your pick-click-give amounts.
So even if you did pick-click-give back in February or March when you did your application, you can still go back in and add some more.
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
So now that you know how much the PFD is, go ahead and go back and check that out.
And Block Party.
Block Party. First of all, we didn't ask you for your story, Jared.
It's too late now. And we're calling it Block Party, Downtown Party.
Downtown Block Party is the name. Downtown Block Party. Saturday, September 10th from 2 to 8 p.m. For more information, you can just give me a call, 907-539-2027.
Party, games, music.
Party, games, music,
food trucks.
And if you're listening and you're an artist or a performer or have some kind of talent, even if you want to juggle, feel free.
Oh my gosh, we need juggles and the flamethrower eater. Oh my gosh.
The flame throwing part. We'll have to go through this.
I feel like there's one person on the island that could
do that. There's got to be a flame eater on the island somewhere.
But if you are a talented musician, performer, whatever, please feel free to message the Kodiak Arts Council on our Facebook page, or also email me at hazel@kodiakarts.org, or also feel free to text or call Laura at
907-539-2027.
Well, thank you to my guests, Mitchell Davidson, Laura Arboleda, and Hazel De Los Santos. Thanks for coming and spending your morning here at the Corner Studio. We're back here in the corner at KMXT. You're listening to KMXT 100.1 FM. I think we have Line 1 coming up next. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Jared and friends.